First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 3, 2016. Asaph's Call to Worship Again.
Would you please stand and join me in responsive reading of Psalm 81, verses 1 to 3. To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud to God our strength.
Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob.
Raise a song and strike the timbrel.
The pleasant harp with the lute.
Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon.
At the full moon on our solemn feast day.
You may be seated.
Last week we had an Asaph's Christmas Carol. This week we're looking at Psalm 81, which is I've called Asaph's Call to Worship. That's not something we really do here. When I grew up, the first church my family attended when I was young had a, quote, call to worship. And that is where in that case, it was the pastor would get up. And it was how they started the service, because like everybody else before church, you're talking with your friends, you're looking at the bulletin, maybe you're doing a jigsaw puzzle, you're making your grocery list, you're saying, I forgot to turn the roast on. There's all kinds of things in your mind that could be happening. And so to get everybody's attention, there was something in the bulletin that said, call to worship. And the call to worship, the pastor would stand up, he would read a verse or two from the Bible, and he might have a little tiny short story, kind of like we would do for our offering stories. And then we would begin to sing. There was supposed to be a time where you stopped and you got your attention for what was going to happen. There's a lot of things that can take our attention away from what's important. Do you like this? I need to start eating more healthy, but first I need to eat all the junk food in the house so it's not there to tempt me. We have enough junk food in the house. We're bringing some over. We're going to bring over can you believe it? A pumpkin pie made it through our house without being eaten. So we have a pumpkin pie that we're going to be bringing over. There's some other things going on. When you think of what it is to be needy, that's what I'm talking about for a minute, to be needy, because we need God, there's a constant image of little tiny birds. And the Bible says that God takes care of us and shelters us under his wing. Verse we're going to be looking at today is Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Isn't that a nice Bible verse? Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. That's the verse we're looking at this morning. Because the point is that and God looks at his people. Some of his people go away hungry because they will not take what he gives. Now, there's a lot of times when perhaps mom makes something or you go out to dinner and you order some food and it just isn't something that you like. For example, Barbara and I have gone a couple of times to a restaurant here. I won't say what it is. A restaurant that everybody else likes, everybody else goes to, everybody else enjoys their blooming onions. I guess they gave it away. And every time I've eaten there, I've spent a lot of money and been unhappy. I've even sent food back. We've sent food back and had them cook each other's food the way the other one asked for it. We've had things come back, and then if I would have taken it with me, I would have had something to drive nails with when I went home. So just dissatisfaction. So people say, oh, I don't want to go there because I have never had a good experience. So if they offer stuff, my mouth isn't even there to be open wide to try to fill up with. Our point from Psalm 81 is summarized in this verse, Psalm 81:10, because Psalm 81 is reminding us to stop and let God fill you. Very simply, this is the point of the whole psalm. We're summarizing it now. And why is this a point? Well, because there are a lot of other things that we can fill up with. We can be consumed by our job. We can be consumed by our family. We can be consumed by our hobbies. And to put on the analogy that we have in Psalm 81, you can even be consumed with church. In that, None of those are bad things. But somewhere in life, God has to be first place. Psalm 81 is a, people will call it a festival song, a reminder song. It's a holiday psalm, if you will. Psalm 81 was a call to worship together at a special time of the year. The Bible verses Jim read for us are connected with the full moon, with harvest time. Some people scratch their head and said, well, it's probably Passover. No, I disagree with that. I agree with people who say very likely this psalm was intended to be used when Israel gathered to worship at either the Feast of Trumpets or the Feast of Tabernacles or perhaps both. A couple of the festivals they got together that are kind of like, to make a general statement, Thanksgiving. Harvest time coming, announcing that God has blessed us, reminding ourselves that God has blessed us, and reminding ourselves that the good things that we have come from God. God has given you skills, abilities, a mind to think with, a body to work, plans to be able to make. God has done all of these things. And for us, God is reminding us here to give Him the credit and not to take too much credit upon ourselves. I don't know about you, but I like it when people say nice things to me. I like it when people praise me or thank me for things or say, oh, that was wonderful. Nobody, oh, that was, you know, how tremendous that is. And pretty soon we believe our own press. I always think it's got to be difficult. I'm glad, like the writer of the proverb, God, I'm glad I'm not so rich that I forget you. So I guess I'm just as glad that I'm not really good at very many things, because then people would fill my head with swelling words and I wouldn't listen to anybody. I always think it's got to be hard if you're in the entertainment business, because people are paid to tell you good things. At some level of corporate America, people are paid to tell you yes. There's that old joke about being a yes man. Yes, yes, yes. What a great idea. What a great idea. We get that way too. And that's the concern in this psalm, is that we began to realize that, well, God is fortunate to have us in His family. And times of organized thanks and praise are reflections to break that habit away from us. Psalm 81 is a call of worship when we clear our minds and stop intentionally to praise God. We stop intentionally to praise God. I'm glad you come to church. That's part of what we do in church, is we sing songs to give praise, to give thanks. We read scripture. We pray to God. And oftentimes the pastoral pray I give is a time of praise and thanks. It's a time when our phones are off. We're unconcerned about scores. And, you know, does your kid have a bit of mustard on their lip? Well, okay, but that's not the number one concern. Here in Psalm 81, the crowd is gathered for music and praise and to hear a word from God. So for us, as we're progressing through a new year and we're working our way through the Psalms, Psalm 81 seemed like an appropriate place for us to start today. So much is happening in our lives right now. Bills, because you just had Christmas, right? Bills. Christmas exchanges. I still have one more thing that we got for Adam I'm in the middle of an exchange with, because we're doing something differently. April 15th is coming now, yes? I need to go buy this year's tax software for my computer, because now I'll become absorbed with that. Right in 2016, I told you that. That's coming, and I haven't written 2015 yet. But there's lots of things that fill our minds and occupy us. And Psalm 81 tells us that you need to plan, that I need to plan. Let me back off and do it that way. To spend time with God. Because it doesn't just happen. Can I tell you, I can go all week and work on two or three messages, Bible presentations, and a wanted lesson, setting up for game time and buying prizes. And if I'm not careful, my time with God is, what can I say, professional. Professional time with God. Let's exegete this verse. Do I recognize the sense of this? Do I recognize the root of this term? How many times is it used? Is it unique in Scripture? And all of a sudden you think, I haven't read my Bible for God to instruct me, to comfort me, to teach me righteousness, to build up my faith, or to strengthen my walk with Jesus. It's very easy to do. There's a lot of
There are a lot of times when you can get absorbed in what you're doing, even in church. And this is why we had church on the list. You can get so absorbed in church, you miss God. You know, that's possible. It's very possible. When we look at Psalm 81, there are three aspects of worship we need to remember. Praising God, hearing God, and obeying God. Now, this is not normally how I preach. I'm not a 3 points in a poem guy. I used to be before I came here. When I came here, I intentionally decided to change the way I preached. But this is a liturgical message, if there ever was one, in the Psalms, is Psalm 81. Designed to be shared, I think, in the fall when they gather together for a feast, to remind them to gather together and give God his due. So as I wrote here, this is an intentional presentation of an intentional call to worship, intentionally read to make a stop and notice intentionally. So we're going to go ahead and be structured with how we look at this. Because God wants us to understand that our job is to worship him, know him. Jesus said, eternal life is to know you. John 17, when he prayed to his Father. And sometimes we get too complex in our spiritual life, and you need to know God. We know God through Jesus Christ and the influence of the Holy Spirit. But when we come to him, so what is important? Remember, Ecclesiastes, written by a very wise man, at the end of the day, he wrote, what's going on? Fear God, keep his commandments. Yeah, because if you're smart, you can make it simple. If you get stuck in the verbiage, you're stuck too. Take a look there. Daddy sang bass. Did you know that is a religious message in that song? We're going to have a little bit of fun with Johnny Cash this morning. When I work on my sermon, sometimes I listen to stuff and he has some religious. I thought I was listening to the religious. That fits with my sermon. I'm going to use that today. Because Daddy sang bass is talking about in the future, seeing together as a family. And even if members of your family pass away, one day you'll get together and you'll get to sing and worship with them again, because you're going to see them, as the song says, by and by. So if you listen to the chorus of that song, it's talking about singing together in this earth, worshiping together as a family and with friends, and then one day continue that worship in heaven. Psalm 81 tells us there are three ways, as I've said, to approach God in worship. So this is a corporate time when the people have gathered to see, how should I be worshiping my God? How should I show my God that I think he's important enough to spend time with? How should I show my God, and show myself, by the way, that God is important to me? And notice how it begins, sing aloud to God our strength. Yes? Then seconds back. Psalm 81 begins, sing aloud to God our strength. Yes? Yes. Yeah, sorry, I don't. Sometimes I probably drone and put you to sleep. I'm on medication. You don't even know if I'm here. I hope I remember this tonight. But remember, singing is something that God's people have always done. And I can remember as a kid when I got saved, transitioning from when I was a kid, KJAE 107.5 on the FM radio was, as a kid, younger than most of the kids here. I used to listen to pop music when I was a kid. Had the little radio, and I didn't act like I was a quote unquote kid from the hood, but I had a little portable radio and I carried it like this on my shoulder. I'd like to listen to it. Had a little earphone, one ear. Back then it was just one earphone. Remember that? Plug it in, have the one ear, and I listened to pop music. Well, I got saved, and after a while, after I got saved, I thought, you know what, those hymns at church, I suddenly started to notice them. And suddenly, I started saying, can I get a Christian, forgive me, 8-track? So I had that kind of stuff, and let me tell you, I had records, and when I moved up to cassettes, I thought, life is no better than this. This is perfect cassette. And I'm listening to Christian music on my cassette. But I still had, I don't have any more, but I used to have Imperials records. But there was some about, now that I knew Jesus, I wanted to sing a little bit. And believe it or not, that is a common Christian experience. Because Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21 tells me that one way I demonstrate the filling of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit's control of my life, is not only am I easy to get along with, not only do I submit to each other, not only can I get along with folks in a crowd, but I'm singing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So God puts a new song in my heart. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, come into his presence with singing. So singing Christian songs is good for your soul. I know it's good for mine. Sometimes I sit there and I get overwhelmed, and sometimes at home the family will see me. I take my computer, I put my earphones in. Not always I'm listening to Christian music, but generally when I'm doing my stuff like for today, I've got this plugged in and I'm running something in my head. And it just happened to be when I was at this part of the message planning, I listened to my mother's hymn book, it's called. That's my Johnny Cash album, My Mother's Hymn Book. And I thought, well, I'm going to do this for church today because it's going to be my example. But singing, he tells us, Asaph tells us in Psalm 81 that Christians, song is an aspect of our hearts. That our hearts are praising and worship, and singing is a great way that God has given us to open up our hearts and souls and be thankful. It's hard to sing when you're crabby. Did you know that? Even country music about losing your dog and all that kind of stuff. It's hard to sing that when you're crabby. Singing generally lifts your heart. Psalm chapter 40, verse 3. He puts a new song in our heart. Talk to the hand. Why? Because sometimes you've got to listen. Hearing, listening to God is the next aspect. If you will listen to me. Why? Because not even God's people always listen to what he has to say. Not even husbands or wives listen to their spouse. Amen? No, don't say it. These kinds of issues are not new. People always ask us to listen, and we hate to do this. Listen. Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to what I have to say. You've heard me say when you go to, if you go to counseling, if Dan Benson was here, I think he would agree with me. If you ever want someone to pay attention to you, you look at them and say, let me tell you what you just said. Or see if I understand what you just said. And then almost always they'll do this. Because they're sure you haven't paid attention to anything that they have said, and they are going to point out your mistake. If we paid attention to God, we're going to repeat back to him what he has told us to do. The words that he has given us for guidance and comfort. God is not a telemarketer, by the way. When God calls, you should answer. When God puts a verse in your mind, you should reflect on it. And not think, oh, too bad there's not a commercial right now. Obeying. Verses 11 through 16. I like that. It always kills me when I see people in the, forgive me, people in their entertainment business doing and saying things that are kind of shocking, and almost always they have a cross on. Have you noticed that? Maybe I've been aware of that at Christmas time. Maybe it's just the theme of the year. But they don't wear a Christmas tree, they wear a cross when they do all these other things. I thought, I don't understand this. Why do they have that on? I don't understand it at all. In the Bible there, it says, my people would not. Notice he says, my people. This is where God starts with us. My people would not hear my voice. And Israel would have none of me. This psalm, as you take a look at it, God talks about his deliverance for his people, things he's done for his people. Where, you know, if you do something nice, you might expect someone to pay attention to you. More than once, I have had a parent just wanting to talk to me about something, and a parent has come up and has said, you know, I did this for my kid. You think they would listen to me? And you know what? You did that for your kid, and your kid is very happy, but that doesn't mean they're going to listen to you, does it? Of course not. Somebody does something nice for you, I thank them, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to listen to them. Of course, that's how the whole political system is based, is lobbyists, I'm going to give you some cash. I want you to listen to me. And the longer you're in the business, the longer you're able to shake your head and go on to the next person. And pretty soon, we learn to treat God the same way. God says something to us. We nod our head and go on to what we want to do instead. And Psalm 181 tells us that this is dangerous. Backing up to verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. Verse 10, I am the Lord your God who bought you. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God says he has the means to take care of what we need. But my people would not heed my voice. Israel would have none of me. So I gave them to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Romans chapter 1 picks up this theme. Paul's familiar with his Old Testament. God used the same kind of phraseology there. And God says, oh, that my people, verse 13, would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. God doesn't work through one particular country anymore. He works through a people. That's us. But God still wants us to listen and pay attention to what he says. And you can tell if someone's listened and paid attention because their conduct is going to change. Yes? Yes? When I go into the doctor, I was excited because Lester, my blood alcohol content was down. Ha, ha, ha. My A1C is down. I was wondering if you'd pay attention. Sorry, I'm just in that mood today. My A1C is down. I'm doing more diabetes things like I should. Hooray! So I got my bus license back and all this other stuff. Very good. My blood sugar is better, except when I'm sick like this right now. Goes through the roof, so that's another reason to go to the doctor. If you pay attention, your conduct changes. And God is watching. And God says, I'm glad you're singing songs to praise. It's good for you to praise. He says, I'm glad you're listening to what I have to say, because it's good that you've noticed, you remember, and you kind of think of some chapter and verse. But God says, what really matters is, what are you doing? What are you doing about that? Where do you put things? What is prioritized? While you're doing all this other stuff, did you do what's the most important thing first? And the number one thing is to know God, to trust Christ, to be like him. There's nothing new in this psalm, by the way. That's why this is a reminder psalm. There's nothing new here. Matter of fact, Jesus updated this when he came to the earth saying, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You'll lose your life for my sake. You will find it. So the same kind of call is put on our lives. This is kind of a test. It's an open book test. God's given you an open book test. But he's telling you the answer first. And the answer is to put Christ first. So I talked about music, that music is the response of a soul to God. And forgive me, I told you I was listening to last night. So one of the great things we struggle with is, what do people think of me? And what does God think of me? So I'm going to ask you to listen to a clip of this, where this is a testimony song. And, well, you'll get the point. The question is, what does God think of you? That's the most important thing, is what does God think of you, not what do other people think of you. It's about salvation.
There are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. Well, I was there when it happened, and so I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me,
saved my soul.
The very moment he forgave me,
made me whole.
He took away my heavy burdens, Lord, he gave me peace within.
Peace within.
Satan can't make me doubt it.
I won't doubt it.
It's real and I'm gonna shout it.
I'm gonna shout it.
I was there when it happened, and so I guess I ought to know.
If Jerusalem was in Dallas, it might sound like that, the Psalms. But the point of that is a sentiment that I hear today among my, I'm going to assume they're my Christian friends, but I hear this sentiment today where people will hear the gospel, they'll hear the claims of Jesus, they'll understand that they're sinners and that they need to change and give God control of their heart and trust him as their Savior, repent, all that stuff, however you want to put it. And they'll say, you know what? I'll find out one day. I don't know. I'm uncertain. Did I get saved right? You know, when I was a kid, I understand that, because when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I wasn't sure, did I get saved right? Because I'd never been saved before. I hadn't trusted Christ numerous times. I thought, well, did I get saved right? I remember asking my, there was a man who's a pastor now. He was on staff at our church. And when I went down to tell him, hey, I got saved the other day, and what do I do now? And I said, did I get saved right? Because I was really sure, did I say the right thing? Did I think the right thing? I made sure when I was praying to God, I was under heavy conviction as a child, as a little-year-old child. So I was trying to quote whatever Bible verses I knew about being a rotten, sinful person, because God didn't have to convince me, I knew. And I said, did I do it right? And that was the wrong way to think about it, wasn't it? Did I do it right? Because the point was, did I trust Christ as my Savior? And the answer was yes. So there's a lot of things that kind of float in our minds. And to start off this year, thanks for letting me have a little bit of fun with Psalm 81. We're almost done. Okay. But when you look at this psalm, the point is first things first. And if we're gathering together in God's name, we've got to praise him a little bit and give him some thanks. And not mumble too much. Second thing, we get together in God's name, you got to talk about God's word so we hear what God has to say. Because there's so many words out there that can choke your brain. Listen to God's words. And the third thing, if you're praising God and you're knowing his words, somehow that's going to change your conduct. And somehow you're going to know that you're in his family. You shouldn't have any doubt. So we can talk about God, we can visit about God, we can think about God, we can chat about God, but somewhere only you know if you know God. So hopefully you have that confidence in your heart and your soul that when you think about it, your heart might beat a little bit when you think about the consequences of sin, what God has saved you from, but somewhere there should be that peace that comes that passes all understanding, that keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus because you know that he has saved you. You know that he has changed you. And no matter what other people might ask you, you know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that he's your Lord, and you're going to be in heaven one day, and you have that blessed hope of seeing him yet in life. For us, build on the rock. Build on the rock. There's lots of other things you can emphasize and look at. Who's Jesus? Who is he to you? Develop the habit of praise. It can save your soul. Because you're discouraged, down, we talked about it in Sunday school, depression, despondency can strike when life circumstances get you. Because we don't live in a perfect world and we're not perfect people. So an imperfect group of people in an imperfect world can lead to an imperfect adjustment to life circumstance. Develop an attitude of praise. And get used to seeing the Bible as for you, not for those people. That's a much more common reaction than we might like to admit. Why? If those people just had this truth in their lives like I do, if those people would just listen, the Bible tells me that I need to listen. I need to pay attention. I need to read. I need to praise. I need to pray. I need to tell others about Jesus. I need to do these kinds of things, not just leave it to somebody else or blame somebody else. I have to do this stuff. That should be all of our perspectives. I have to do this because that's what God wants from me. God, help us to honor you with all the things that we do and help us as we start the year to reflect. God, how much attention should we be spending on you? In the middle of all the things we do, how much time do I really need to give you? In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.